I'm going to name some names. Sam Cooke.
Oh, I loved him. I love Sam Cooke. Played with him, played on the bandstand. Got a chance to play with him twice. His drummer's name is June. I can't think of June's last name. He's from New Orleans. But Sam was the most soulful person I have ever seen. I met him in Washington, D.C. in 60 or 61. He only carried a guitar player with him, a guy named Cliff White. Cliff was an old man, big guy with a white head of hair, and played a big belly guitar. Insane. But the music was done by Rene Hall. Rene used to be in Mr. Ernie Fields' band here. Rene's music was laid out so beautiful on a piece of paper that a blind man could see it. Because Sam used the same ice cream changes. He must have written 100 songs, and every song had the same changes. Boom, 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 ding, ding, ding. Every song that he ever wrote got those same changes in it. So I was playing with Sam one time. I wasn't on the bandstand with him this particular time. June was there. I played with him when June's father died, and June had to go back to New Orleans. But Sam came back from right across the street. The Howard Theater is a watering hole called Cecilia's. And he came with a girl, a tall, blonde girl. So he took a cigarette out, and he told the girl, "Hold this, I'll be right back." And he went out. First show of the afternoon, 2 o'clock show. Maybe 15 or 20 people in the place that held probably 500. So, it's nobody in there. He starts singing and locked in. And about an hour and 20 minutes later, he stopped for 8 people. Unreal. The only person who has the voice now is R. Kelly. If he would stick to singing the kind of song that Sam does. That's a rare voice. I don't think you can train for that voice. Sam had it, but Sam came out of the gospel church. He came out of a group called the Soul Stirrers, as did Lou Rawls. They were in the same group together.
The Howard Theater, where was that?
It's in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
It's one of the iconic places.
Yes, and you said you delivered mail. You worked for the post office.
I worked the post office, yeah.
You were a mailman.
Mailman, yeah.
Why?
Well, when I got out of the Navy, I got out of a second-class musician. I had gotten quoted, and my wife wanted to have a family. She wanted me to stay in the Navy, and I didn't want to stay in the Navy because by then racism had just practically driven me to the edge. I said, if I stay in there, I'm going to lose all my stripes because I'm going to fight somebody, and you lose your stripes. So she made me promise if I didn't get a job within 90 days that I'd go back in the Navy and keep my same job. So I went to work at the post office.
You backed Sammy Davis Jr.
Played with him one time.
What was that like?
It's interesting. Very talented, but stupid in this regard. Sammy, I doubt if he had 15 cents when he died because he lived way above his means. He saw me in 1965. That's how I met him. I was with T. Carson and the same bass player, Wilbur Little, who was in Amsterdam. We had a trio. I wasn't actually playing with him, but I played because T's original drummer didn't want to play a job free. But I said, I'll play it for you because I play with him all the time anyway. We go out to David Brinkley. You remember David Brinkley?
The newscaster.
The newscaster. Go out to his house. And we're playing. Well, Sammy comes in with Frank Sinatra and all those guys. They were in town for Kennedy. So he came over and played a little bass and little drums and little whatever, And he liked my car. I had a new 65 Mustang. He liked my car. So I drove him back in the motorcade back to the National Theater. So he did a command performance of Golden Boy. He had all the music. So we ended up doing Golden Boy for that night and the next night. But Sammy just lived above him. If he made $10,000 a night, he spent $15,000 the same night.
We have a number of names like Buddy Rich, and you met up with him.
Yeah, Buddy, interesting. Buddy's, a little arrogant cat. Short, arrogant. I'd just come back from Europe. I was called to work with a singer that Motown was trying to make into a big star. And they said, Buddy is kind of strange. You better take your own drums. So I took my own drums to Caesar's Palace. That was my first gig in Las Vegas. I took my drums and set them on the side and set them up. And Buddy walked in with his entourage, yes, man. His roadie had set up a new set of Rogers drums. Man, I just salivated. And he said, they know I use a cymbal right here. He uses a cymbal right on the right-hand side. He said, they don't have it. Send them back. And I said, man, give me those. I love to have those drums. Anyway, the guy boxed them up. So the librarian came out with the music. But he's never spoken to me. And he looked at the music. He said, hey, drummer, play this. And threw the music at me. So I played it. Played it again. He said, huh. Would you mind if I use the drums? I said, no. Then he sat down and put the bat. He didn't read music. So all he wanted to do was to hear it. And he heard it. I played it the second time down. And he sat down and played. Blah, blah, blah. And put his stuff to it. Made my drum set come alive, But the greatest compliment he ever paid me was 3 or 4 nights into the gig, I was watching him on the side. And he could see me watch him, and he played a lick that I had played. I said, "Man, it's my lick." He said, "Yeah, this is the way you play it." And he called me out my name, you know. So anyway, the next night, I came in early. His manager ran up to me and said, "Man, you got to play." I said, "Start it early." He said, "No." He said, "Buddy just had a heart attack." So I had to go play, and I had to play all of his music. Well, Frank Sinatra and
Dean Martin, Joey Bishop,
and
Sammy
Peter Lawford, they all came
the Rat Pack
to support Buddy, because Buddy's making $40,000 a week. So they needed something to fill that gap, and I wasn't going to do it, you know. I don't know whether I wrote it or not, but Joey ran up on the bandstand, and he said, "Holy smoke!" Sounded like Amos and Andy. He said, "Is this Buddy? This must be Buddy after the riots." But then he came backstage and said, "Hey, man, I don't mean you any harm." I said, "Man, I know you got to make people laugh. It's what you do for a living."